The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Hey, well, thank you for listening. This is the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Deb will be back soon. We promise that. Stay with us in this hour. We'll be talking with Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 past. He's our toxicologist. We'll start with a story this week that we didn't have time to get to last week. And some countries are banning some pesticides that are toxic to bees. Apparently, bees are pretty important. Part of our ecosystem. So that's the one story we'll talk about. Another story about the beef industry is being affected by. He calls it horseplay. So it's kind of an interesting twist on the story. I think I know where he's going with that. And the state of California planning to get out of the heat on flame retardants. Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. 34 after the hour, straight talk from the docks with Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike get together every week. What are you talking about today with Dr. Perry?
Well, we're talking about two things. One is chlorhexidine. It's an antibiotic that is common in bacterial soaps. And Arthur has some comments on why you may want it. And he thinks it's now coming of age or a good thing that we all start to use this. And so I'm going to really question him very hard on that because I have a little different viewpoint on it. But it is a common thing. And the second is, what is the most common cosmetic procedure, actual procedure, not we're not including Botox and that type of thing, but actual procedure, and what country is it done in?
It's a great segment every week, yes?
And the key is it's not the United States that gets most cosmetic surgery.
Got it. Great segment every week, straight talk from the docs with Dr. Arthur Perry, 34 past the hour. Dr. Mike's real age tip for hour two before the end of the show. I found a story this week that'll make your day. We always talk about whether or not people are getting the message about eating right or doing eating great, good things, healthy things at restaurants. Restaurant chains, they found out that are adding new menu items for health-conscious people appear to be paying off. Restaurants that offer low-calorie foods are doing better financially. They say these restaurant chains that recognize people want meals that don't expand their waistlines are doing better than those that don't. They found restaurants that serve more low-calorie foods and drinks saw better sales growth, higher customer traffic, and stronger gains in food and beverage servings than chains that didn't. They looked at places like Applebee's, Burger King, Chili's, Outback Steakhouse, and Taco Bell, among others, and they defined low-calorie as a sandwich or entree with 500 or fewer calories, and they also included beverages with 50 or fewer calories per 8-ounce serving. Before now, there wasn't any evidence that restaurants could do well financially by offering healthier things, but they can. They do. So that's I guess it's a start in the right direction, Dr. Mike.
I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, the actual, I must tell part of the story, if you will, because I started this in 1991 with the four of the five general managers of Let Us Entertain You were patients of mine in Chicago, and I can tell that story because it's not telling tales out of school. And so we, in fact, got them to put on hearts on the foods on their menu that were healthy. They did that, and sales of those items went down by 50%. Same items, but America wasn't ready to go out and eat healthy. They did it themselves without my pushing in about 2004, and to their surprise and good fortune, if you will, sales of the items then went up 30%. They've continued it, and they've started some healthy chain. They have 75 different restaurants in Chicago and Las Vegas and some other cities. And so they've started a new group of healthy restaurants. I can't remember the name, but they've got two of them in Chicago now. One is in McCormick Place, opposite Food Life, which is also one of their restaurants, but opposite Food Life is one of their Healthy Choice restaurants. And I'm proud to say, talking with them, they say it's doing very well. So I have more evidence that America is really ready to start to eat healthy.
That's good. That's a good thing. I think it's starting to turn in that direction. And there's nothing to say that healthy food can't taste just as good as food that's not as healthy, right?
It does taste just as good. That's right.
Without a doubt. Let's tie this in with one of the other medical stories of the week, and these are the new rules for school snacks. What can you say about that?
Well, this is a rule that says that the school snacks, they can't serve high-calorie pastries or other dishes like that, and they have to have 200 calories or less and can't be essentially laden with sugar, fat, or other things that are destructive. So, if you will, it's a very good news thing. This is the USDA. It says that there are exceptions for this, but essentially it means that potato chips, that is high-fat chips, can't be a snack food. And so, if you will, the key is all schools may sell water, unflavored, low-fat milk, flavored or unflavored, fat-free milk or soy alternatives, 100% fruit juice as beverages, but they can't sell high-fat chips, large-calorie pastries, or cookies, or regular sodas. There are exceptions for this. The exceptions are for entrees or side dishes sold in the a la carte lines that are part of the school meal, and, in fact, they do not apply to food sold at after-school fundraisers, concession stands at sporting events, and food served at celebrations. So we don't care if you kill yourself if you're going to a celebration or a sporting event or even a fundraiser, but we just don't want to kill you during regular school hours.
Well, that's interesting how you said that. Let's bring in the story about couch potatoes. What might one of the disadvantages be to being a couch potato?
Actually, this ties with one of Gary Ginsberg's studies, because it is what happens is your sperm count goes down. So if you spend more than 20 hours at watching TV a week, had 44% lower sperm counts, and had, in fact, a lower quality of sperm counts. Now, you're going to hear a story from Gary Ginsberg, if we get time, in the What's Toxic, What's Not segment, on the sperm quality declining and the sperm numbers declining in French men. And you'll notice how correspondingly these are. You'd think French are watching more TV. I don't know that Gary has the summary, because I didn't read that far to find out whether it was due to couch potatohood in French. But the French aren't known for sedentary life, but they are having a fertility problem, and this may be it. It may be that they've become TV watchers. And, of course, the United States is having a fertility problem. We need 2.1 kids per family to keep our population the same. We're at 1.9, but if you look at college-educated women, we're at 1.7. So we're going to have a population problem, not having enough young people if we don't watch out. And some of it may be due to TV watching.
And we need to be competitive in the world. And I did a segment on this on my morning show here in Syracuse this week, that we need to make more babies. But, you know, people are delaying marriage to begin with. That's a factor. Also, when they do get married, they delay having kids again. But again, it is a big factor in contributing to the country being competitive with the rest of the world in terms of fertility rates. Speaking of Dr. Gary Ginsberg, he's coming up right after the break. You stay with us. If you want to email Dr. Mike a question, he provides the answers, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. We stream, by the way, at radiomd.com and gabradio.com. And if you need to hear a segment again, you enjoyed it, you'd like to hear it again or missed a segment, you can always do that at radiomd.com. They're always podcast on that terrific website, so a good way to do that. If you missed something, you want to hear something again, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not, next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they are often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First Up, Last Out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, we thank our backers, our sponsors, UBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. What's toxic and what's not? Dr. Gary Ginsberg reserves some time every week during the show at this time. Dr. G, I thought we'd pick up on a story we didn't get to yet last week. So it goes to the top of the pile. It has to do with banning pesticides that are toxic to bees. How about that?
Yeah, well, you know, the colony collapse disorder, or CCD, has still been a puzzle around the world, It's really important puzzle because bees are so economically important to most things we eat from agriculture. In Europe, it's estimated that 84% of their crop requires pollination. 22 billion euros is tied up in the activity of bees. And bees have been suffering and declining, and it's been hurting the economy. So the EU, the European Union, has decided to ban three pesticides that are also economically very important, used by a lot of growers on things like corn. Imidacloprid is sort of the prototype of these three pesticides, and they are called neonicotinoids. So the thought is, you know, that they've got some nicotine type, like cigarettes have nicotine in them, nicotine-like activity, which stimulates the bee's nervous system in a way that makes them a little too hyperactive, too much buzzing around. They can't find the hive. They get confused, and they fly off and starve to death and resupply the hive with nectar. So these pesticides are now going on holiday in Europe. They're going to try a temporary ban and see if that brings back the bee population. My guess is that this isn't the whole story. There's probably a variety of factors that have led to a worldwide syndrome of CCD, but Europe is trying this one out, and this is no small step because it's not easy to ban a pesticide that is so economically in use right now.
Dr. Mike, where do you want to go next with Dr. Ginsburg? Want to go with the French men story?
Let's go with French men and their sperm.
Yeah, all right. So a lot of data has come out of Europe over the last, say, 10 years on declining sperm counts. And if you look at it as a whole body of evidence, it's more in favor of there really is a phenomenon. Some of the studies aren't completely on board with that, but overall the data seems to show about a 1% drop in sperm count per year over the last 30 years. So in other words, men are 30% less fertile from the 1980s, say, to now. Well, this latest French study adds significantly to the weight of that. They looked at 126 fertility clinics and men going there. Now, these men weren't going to the fertility clinics because they were having problems, but it was mostly because their partners, their female partners, were having trouble conceiving, maybe, and the men were going to just get checked out. And these men, over the course of the 30 years or so, over time, from 1989 to 2005, they saw a drop in these men's sperm quality by 2% a year, so double the rate that we thought was going on in from other European studies. So a third of a drop in sperm count over about a 20-year period. So that's very significant. I mean, some health authorities are raising alarm bells about...
And the story you sent me showed it was... at a steady rate of about 2% a year in decreased numbers, and about 1.5% a year or 1.3% a year in decreased quality, which is huge changes.
Yeah.
Do we know why this is occurring?
All right, well, let me say two things. Now, number one is some people are still saying that's not that significant because the average amount of sperm that these French subjects had still is within the range of fertility, so you become infertile when you are below 15 million counts. These guys dropped from 74 to 49 million. So even the average of 49, they're still considered within the clinical range of fertile. However, you shift the population, now you've got about 20% of the bell-shaped curve that's now falling into the range of infertile. So it is shifting more young men. These are guys average age of 35 into an infertile range. Now, why? Getting to your question, Mike, I think it has to do with phthalates that the mother was using during pregnancy. Phthalates are known to impair in utero development of male gonads. Phthalate exposure also later in life from things like male cosmetics and deodorants and things like that. You know, I make the joke about, you see those ads on TV, the guy's wearing all that deodorant and cologne, and the women come running out of the bush after him. The, jo- the joke is when they catch up to him, he won't be able to do anything about it. So, so I think that's part of the problem. I think that there's now a study out of Harvard just released that men who are less active and watch more TV are have lower sperm count.
Yeah, we discussed that earlier today.
Yeah, so fat, look, obesity, fat is estrogenic and fat cells. And so men not in condition, men not using their muscle mass, leads to less hormonal activity. I truly believe that our lifestyle is part of it and phthalates are part of it.
All right, we talked about the British and the French, about the state of California and flame retardants. What's going on the West Coast?
You know, I think that this is one of the biggest stories I could talk about on this week's show because it's in California, the green state, the state that leads the way, usually with getting rid of a lot of chemical problems, and, you know, they're their own EPA, so to speak. Well, they have been the source of a problem with flame retardants since the 1970s. It's California's fire retardant standards for things like cushions and foam that they have a very stringent standard. In other words, they want to make sure these things won't burn. And so they're open. They've got an open flame 12-second test that if the foam can't withstand that test and it goes up in flames, then it's too flammable. So because of their stringent test, companies and manufacturers of bedding and furniture have been using a lot of chemical flame retardants. California's Governor Jerry Brown has now realized that it's because of California's very stringent rule that now we're all exposed and babies are exposed, and we've all got a lot of these flame retardants in our blood, which are very chemically active. Some of them are endocrine disruptors. Some of them are carcinogens. We've gone through the brominated flame retardants. We've had to phase those out. Now we're into another range of chlorinated, or again, a phosphate flame retardants, which are pretty toxic. We've got some brominated phthalates. We've got brominated BPA, Mike. Bisphenol A, a brominated version of that, is a flame retardant that's quite commonly used. So because now California's new law, by decreasing their stringency standard to just be a fuming standard, so a smoldering standard. In other words, if you've got like a lit cigarette near the foam, if it doesn't go up in flames, that passes the test. You won't have to add flame retardants to these products, and we'll all get a lot less exposure in the future. And supposedly, I'm not a fireman, I'm not a fire marshal, supposedly this will work in terms of also protecting us from fires.
Okay. Enjoy your weekend. I think you might have to do some shoveling when you get home. So,
yes. Today I get got dumped on. Yeah, I will be busy.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, his website is wonderful, whatstoxic.com. What is toxic and what is not toxic? There are some things that aren't that you may be surprised that aren't or are. Whatstoxic.com. Yet to come, over the next 30 minutes, it's Straight Talk from the Docs is next with Dr. Arthur Perry and some interesting topics that he'll go back and forth with Dr. Mike. And again, another Real Age Tip of the Week for the end of the show and the end of the hour coming up. Anytime along the way you want to reach Dr. Mike, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We stream on RadioMD.com and GabRadio.com, and catch a portion of the show you may have missed or would like to hear again, because all of it's so just wonderfully terrific. You do that at RadioMD.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now.
The words you say to her today.
Can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur, we've got a couple questions Michael. For you, one of which is important. This lady uses natural block from last year. She's run out of it. She's going to Miami this next week. She said, where can she get some more of it or something like it?
Can't get it anymore, Mike. Not for a while. In fact, that's my product, and we will be having an SPF 20 sunscreen in about 2 months, but Natural Block was a 30, and we're probably not going to have it for this season. So I'll tell you what. Blue Lizard, I think, is the brand that's probably the next best brand, Mike, other than mine. That's a zinc oxide-containing sunscreen. You know, zinc oxide, I think, is the single best sunscreen because it doesn't get absorbed in your body and it has the longest wavelength. That means it covers the all of ultraviolet A and B. So, unfortunately, for Natural Block fans, and there are a lot of them out there, it's not going to be around until probably next summer. And then we changed the name.
Now, you told me we'll have some stuff around this summer, though.
Yes, there will be an SPF 20.
20, which is good for everyday use.
But you're going to have other things like a moisturizer or some other skin creams?
Oh, yes. We've got a nourishing serum for the skin that contains vitamin A, vitamin C, and a few other surprises in there. Silymarin, milk thistle, Mike, a great antioxidant. That's in the night
cream. And when will they be available?
Looks like the night cream will be the first week of April. My soap will be the last week of March, so that'll be the first product out of the box. And less than 2 months. Time goes quickly. I'll tell you, I wish it were sooner, but these things do take time, unfortunately.
Now, what country? Let's switch to it. By the way, she asked where she can order these. Forgetting the Blue Lizard, where can she order the your own the soap and then the skin nourishing cream?
Well, the first two places, Mike, will be drperrys.com. That's the new website, drperrys.com.
P-E-R-R-Y-S?
S-S.com. D-R-P-E-R-R-Y-S.com. And Beauty Sage. They should have those. That's at U Beauty's web store, right? And that should be on there, hopefully, pretty soon.
Good. Now, let's talk about what country, you had an interesting story, what country has the most plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery per person or per 1,000 people?
Well, it's not the United States. It is not the
so
United States.
So I'm going to take a guess. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to take a guess it's Brazil.
No, I think it's South Korea.
Is South that right? Korea.
I believe so. Believe so.
And what kind of plastic surgery do they have?
Well, there's all sorts of facial cosmetic surgery. South Korea has a lot of breast surgery. Eyelid surgery is enormous there. Enormous. You know, a lot of people want the double eyelid that Asians have fixed for whatever reason. So, you know, it's interesting. There were last year 250,000 surgical procedures in South Korea. And 1 million surgical procedures in the United States. But I do believe we have more than four times the population of Korea. And so per capita, it's South Korea. You know, across the board, though, Mike, it's the United States. And then Brazil, that's number two. Number two in the world, Brazil. Then China, Japan. Cosmetic surgery is absolutely huge in Asia. And surprisingly, number five on the list is Mexico. Would not have expected that. There are some real surprises in this list. That's it comes out every year by the International Plastic Surgery Society, not the United States one. And of course, the most popular procedure in the world, Mike. Of course, it's Botox. That's the non-surgical procedure. It's enormous all throughout the world. You know, the numbers are a little hard to deal with because
is how much of that is what you might call generic Botox versus how much of that is the original Botox? Is it mainly original Botox still?
Yeah, there's still throughout the world Botox and Dysport, and just this week I'm getting my Xeomin, Mike. Xeomin, X-E-O-M-I-N. That's the brand new one. It's a new form of it's. They hate to call it Botox because it's not Botox. It's a different company. It's the MERS Pharmaceutical Company, and they've just got their FDA approval. Remember, we covered this story. This is a fascinating story. About a year ago, Xeomin got FDA approval, and they were all set to launch that product in the United States. And 1 week before their launch, the FDA slammed them, and I believe the FTC. There was an injunction against the company. They apparently, one of their employees came from Allergan, the Botox company, and allegedly, not so allegedly because a court decided it happened, he took company secrets with him. So they hit them with a 10-month injunction not to market Xeomin. But it's out now. So just an interesting little sidebar in the world of cosmetic surgery. Xeomin, by the way, Mike. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, Xeomin is sort of the same structure as Botox. It's the same chemical, but it's got that protector protein. You know about that? It's the coolest molecule, Mike. the way botulism gets us, the way it kills us, when we eat those beans with botulism, and that's actually the number one food in the United States, green beans
well, the
that
toxin,
contain botulism.
The beans don't have the botulism. They produce a toxin, and if you leave them out too long or they have a problem, then you get them growing. That's why you've got to refrigerate them.
Right, and it's those home canned beans. That's the number one product when you know not the commercial can. But anyway, the way Botox works is it paralyzes us, and it protects its own toxin by wrapping a protein around the toxin, and our body can't digest that that protein that protects the toxin. So it gets through our gut and into our body and causes its damage. Xeomin removes that extra protein. And because of that, some of the people that have been resistant to Botox will probably not be resistant to Xeomin. That's what they say and believe.
Huh. Okay. So are you thinking that Xeomin may end up being the standard before too long?
You know, hard to say. Botox, everybody knows the name. But Xeomin's coming right out of the box. They're charging plastic surgeons $100 a vial less than Botox to get them to switch. So it should be pretty interesting. There's another advantage to it in that it does not have to be refrigerated. So I need a refrigerator in my office just for Botox. Xeomin doesn't require refrigeration. So there's some indications that Xeomin will be a big seller right out of the box. It'll be interesting to follow.
Now, let's go to a different subject, one that is even more interesting to me, which is cyclohexidine. This is a antibacterial compound. Tell us about it and what you meant by is it coming of age?
Well, chlorhexidine is an antibacterial. We know that one as HibiCleanse. You can go to the pharmacy without a prescription and buy a bottle of HibiCleanse. It's in that baby blue bottle, and it's useful, or it's supposedly useful, for killing bacteria on our skin. And, you know, I've been using it for 20 years or so in plastic surgery and in surgery, but the data
has
not been real.
How have you been using it?
I'm sorry, by washing my hands with it. So a surgical scrub can be used with HibiCleanse.
That's, so you've been using it before the operation instead of iodine or something?
That's right, both on my hands and on the patient. That's correct. So chlorhexidine
instead of iodine.
That's right, instead of that iodine or betadine. But we've talked about having patients actually shower with chlorhexidine beforehand. And Mike, when we come back to the
break, Arthur, we're going to talk more about whether they should shower with it before operations or even regularly, and what should be done for the rooms and the operating rooms. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is the YouBeauty.com segment with Dr. Arthur Perry.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card. Good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Downsized, outsourced, pink slipped, afraid of losing your home? Forbes magazine named our company one of the top 10 business ideas of 2012, where ordinary people are creating extraordinary incomes.
Hi, I am Elena from Miami. I was a traditional business owner with all the headaches that come with that. But I replaced that multiple franchise income working from home full time, and I spent all the time I want with my son.
Get out of the rat race. Work from home and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hi, David from from Boston. I was in the real estate industry for 12 years when the bottom completely fell out of that business. I really had my back against the wall with five young kids depending on me. I've now been in this business for less than a full year, and I'm actually better off today, income-wise, than I was in my best year ever in real estate.
Go to OneOccupyWealth.com now and change your life today. That's the number OneOccupyWealth.com. OneOccupyWealth.com. Start earning great money as soon as next week.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Torticure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
So, Arthur, we were talking about the cyclohexidine in, for example, Hibiquens as an antibacterial that you washed your hands with. Is it as good as the betadine or iodine?
Well, Mike, you know, for different uses, there seem to have been different results. Now, there's no question now. In the operating room, we've done a huge switch over the last 3 years from four decades of betadine use, that's that iodine-containing compound, to something called chloroprep. Chloroprep is
one of the reasons we switched, we should say, is that the betadine contains alcohol, which has some flammability, especially when in the presence of the electric cautery that we use.
Well, but so does chloroprep, though, Mike. And I know that there are different preparations of the chlorhexidine. And the ones that don't contain alcohol were not shown in various studies to decrease the rate of a wound infection the way chloroprep does. So it's a known risk, but surgeons know that you can't let it pool. You have to let it dry before we start the surgery for exactly the reason you just said, because there is a risk of fire in the operating room with something with alcohol. So chloroprep, though, has become the standard just in the last couple of years, and it significantly lowers the infection rate in the operating room. But how about trying to get
from
rid of
the operating
infections?
Room, not just in the operating room, that you get in the operating room.
That's correct. Surgical infections, correct. But there are other infections that people get around the hospital from various bacteria. And it's been tried for a long time to have people bathe or shower with Hibiquens using the soap. And it's been actually, it's surprisingly controversial, and most of the data shows that Hibiquens showers don't make much of a difference. But But there's big news in the surgical world now and in the hospital world, because a paper was published in the New England Journal of Medicine just 2 days ago, and that is considered one of the top journals in the world. It's very prestigious. And this, they used chlorhexidine in a different way, Mike. They didn't just use it as a soap and wash it off. They used these impregnated washcloths after the shower. So first you wash, and then you use these washcloths that contain the chlorhexidine in a 2% concentration, and it leaves a residue on the skin. And that seems to have done the trick. There's a big difference now when chlorhexidine washcloths are used as opposed to chlorhexidine showers. There's a decrease not only in infections for surgery, but there's a decrease in the number of infections that occur, like in an intensive care unit, for instance.
So hold on. Let's get this right. Mm-hmm. So if you use a washcloth that has chlorhexidine in it, as opposed to taking a shower and using a soap with chlorhexidine, apparently the washcloth leaves a residue that fights infections better?
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, why would that be? Is that just because you don't wash it off with water?
Probably. It leaves a higher concentration. And if you look at how this chlorhexidine works, it's very much concentration dependent. It kills all sorts of bacteria. It kills fungus. It kills spores. But the higher the concentration, the faster it works and the better it works, because what it does, we don't want to get too technical here, but it destroys the cell wall of the bacteria and the fungus. And if it's in a high enough concentration, it immediately kills the organism. It causes it to coagulate. It's actually very interesting. And at lower concentrations, there's some kill, but then you wash it off, and we have bacteria living on our body, obviously in our noses and in the hair follicles and sweat glands, and they very quickly repopulate our body. If we leave that residue on the skin, we can get probably 24 hours of good effects, you know, bacteria killing effects from this chlorhexidine. And I think that's been the difference. It was a very statistically significant study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine just a couple of days ago.
Let me go back a second for asking you. If you use it every day and it's an antibacterial agent, won't you develop bugs that are resistant to it? Not on you, not on the people who are doing it right before surgery, because they've only been exposed to it once or twice. But I'm talking about you.
I would have thought so too, Mike. This was actually a six-month they looked at. Well, it was a six-month study, but they used people in the intensive care units, and I've looked at some of the studies that have used this for many, many months on people as a continuing care type of thing, and there does not seem to be a lot of resistance. There are some studies. There definitely are some studies that show some resistance, but it's considered a safe and reasonable technique, and I thought the very same thing. You know, are we going to have these super bacteria because we've done this? And it doesn't appear to do that.
Let's go to another area if we can, and that's the Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, M.D.
And the Real Age Tip this week, vitamin D3 could knock out flu, colds, childhood obesity, and even heart disease. And we learned earlier today in that special study on vitamin D plus DHA, it may dissolve Alzheimer's plaques. That's right. Do you want healthy kids? Then cold or not, even if it's sunny today, even if it's not, send them outside to play, because play is good. But especially if it's sunny. It'll get their bodies moving and give you a break. It also gives kids a shot at getting enough sunshine. Now, that's only in places south of Atlanta and Los Angeles today. So if you're north of Los Angeles or Los Angeles today, north of Atlanta or Los Angeles today, you got to make sure they get the D3 in tablet form. But the kids make flu and cold-fighting vitamin D3. That's tough in winter, obviously, but no harm in trying. help it along when they come back in. Give them some cocoa made with defortified, no-fat milk. Repeat it daily. And make canned salmon and canned tuna menu regulars. Both are good sources of vitamin D3. Why is D3 so important for healthy kids? For one, kids who are low on D3 tend to gain weight, especially around their waist, the riskiest part for their health and yours, because belly fat puts inflammatory mediators out which threaten many organs. D3 fights viral infection in school kids. If they get enough, maybe all of you can sail through this year's cold season, and even if you haven't had the flu, keep it at bay. There's another reason, more disturbing reason, vitamin D3 is so imperative. It reduces the risk for heart disease and hardening of the arteries. So get your kids tested. They should have levels of 50 to 80 supplements. For adults, we recommend 1,000 international units a day. The usual recommend is different for kids. So the real age tip, getting the right amount of vitamin D3 makes your real age 1.8 years younger. And that's our Real Age Tip of the Week. Thank you for listening to You, the Owner's Manual. Arthur, Gary Ginsberg, Joe Galuski, and all of you, and especially Sonar for great engineering. We'll be back next week with another new show.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.